We're going to end our show with coverage of the walking tour and demo in solidarity with California prisoners on indefinite hunger strike, which occurred this past Saturday, July 16th, in Dorchester Square in downtown Montreal. These are some excerpts from the Montreal Solidarity Committee's press releases. On July 1st, thousands of prisoners in long-term isolation units in California prisons began a hunger strike. For many, this strike is an indefinite one. These men are held in their cells for 22 and a half to 24 hours per day, most of them for having been labeled active gang members, often based on false information, for instance, the labeling of self-help or cultural groups as gangs. The only way out is to inform on other prisoners, a situation which encourages false accusations. They are served unsanitary and unwholesome food, punished collectively for the actions of individuals, and routinely and without reason denied access to basic programs and amenities, including self-help and educational programs, one phone call per week, and warm clothing. In response to these conditions, these prisoners have united to put their own lives on the line. As one prisoner explained, no one wants to die, yet under this current system of what amounts to intense torture, what choice do we have? If one is to die, it will be on our own terms. The prisoners' demands are as follows. First of all, eliminating group punishments, abolishing the debriefing policy, and modifying active-inactive gang status criteria, complying with the recommendations of the U.S. Commission on Safety and Abuse in Prisons regarding an end to long-term solitary confinement, providing adequate food, expanding and providing constructive programs and privileges for indefinite SHU inmates. The U.S. now holds over 2 million prisoners, almost 100,000 of them, in isolation. Meanwhile, Canada is adopting similar crime and punishment policies to those of the U.S., the country with the world's highest incarceration rate. Between 2005 and 2012, the Correctional Services of Canada, or CSC, budget will have doubled as thousands of new cages are built to accommodate a massive forthcoming increase in the number of prisoners. Searching for the best ways to keep more and more people locked up, CSC officials have visited supermax prisons in the U.S. similar to Pelican Bay. So now we're going to go to an interview that I conducted. I was there speaking to demonstrators this past Saturday.
Hi. So what's your name?
My name is Helen Hudson.
And what is going on at this demo? Why are people demonstrating today?
Well, it's a demo, but it's not your typical demo. It's a demo and walking tour. It's in solidarity with prisoners in California who are on indefinite hunger strike against the conditions in what's called security housing units, or SHUs, which are an extreme and long-term version of solitary confinement. And we're using this opportunity to make the link to expansions that are being planned in the Canadian prison system under the Harper's new omnibus crime bill, but that I want to emphasize are not solely Harper's ideas. Like, some of these plans were set in motion under the Liberals. So Canada is actually looking towards moving towards the U.S.'s style of prison industrial complex, where we're looking to lock more people up, that sort of tough on crime philosophy, where we're basically warehousing large sectors of marginalized people long term. So what we're doing today is we're walking around downtown Montreal, Old Montreal area. We're now heading into Griffintown, stopping at contractors that in one way or another are benefiting from and participating in prison expansion. Architecture firms, groups that finance prison expansions, groups that build furnitures or profit off the labor of prisoners that are paid a maximum of $1.50 an hour to build furniture for the prisons themselves. So that's what we're doing. We're going around to several companies that are profiting and making our presence known, and at the same time making the link to the protests that are going on in California right now.
Cool. Thank you.
I'm part of the Hunger Strike Support Committee that formed specifically in response to the hunger strike in Pelican Bay in California prisons. We organized this demo today to do a tour of different companies and contractors in Montreal who profit off incarceration, both here and in the United States and in Europe. There's a lot of multinational corporations who have the financial backing behind almost all of the prisons in the world, and a lot of them have headquarters in major cities like Montreal and Toronto, Vancouver, all over the United States, all over Europe. We're hoping to highlight some of the connections between things that are happening here in Canada with the expansion of prisons across the country, both at the provincial level and the federal level, the companies who are making more and more money off of this, and the private prison system in the United States, in which companies definitely profit largely on the incarceration of folks.
Okay, so you see this as being sort of connected, the Canadian prison system, the Pelican Bay hunger strike, and the demos and everything as sort of a holistic thing. Do you want to talk a bit about how you see these things as all being connected?
The demo is in direct response to the hunger strike in the security housing unit in Pelican Bay. Security housing unit puts people in prison in isolation over the long term, and they're in their cell for 23 and a half hours a day. They don't have access to programs. The conditions of their incarceration are much more severe than in other prisons. In Canada, there's only one operational security housing unit, and it's in Saint-Anne-des-Plaines, Quebec. It's slightly different from the security housing units at Pelican Bay in that there are fewer long-term prisoners. People usually end up in the security housing unit in Canada, in Canadian prisons, as a punishment for something that they've done, or as a way of forcing people to admit to something that they've done or to snitch on others. But people are usually in for a matter of 18 months and then put back into general population. Whereas in Pelican Bay, there have been people who have been in isolation for up to 40 years. Correctional Services of Canada are looking to expand the kinds of security housing units that are currently in Canadian prisons. They did a tour of one of the most severe security housing units in the United States at Florence, Colorado, as a way of understanding the prison and how it functions and a way of modeling it in Canada. With them, they took a bunch of mortgage companies who provide the backing and the financial assessments in order to move these projects forward. So it's clear that this is more than just sort of a curiosity trip. They're actually putting these plans into effect. On top of that, all of the companies that back prisons on a financial level in the United States often back prisons in Canada as well. So all of the big banks like Bank of America, Bank of Montreal, Merrill Lynch Financial Group, all provide money to either the government or the state or private corporations in order to allow them to finance prisons even further. So those are the kind of the connections that we're trying to draw out.
Okay, and you had stops on this demo tour that you were doing that were connected to prisons. Like, what kind of places did you stop at?
We stopped at Sodexo, which provides food to Canadian prisons and European prisons. They also provide food in a lot of hospitals, universities, and high schools. We're sort of denouncing them as part of the prison system at large for providing kind of low-quality food consistently. Again, looking to make the most money that they can off incarcerated people.
Okay, and this is related to your own research as well, right?
I have provided a lot of the research for this tour, and it's something that I think is really important to understand how the prison system can expand like this, especially in times of economic downturn. I think it's important to understand how the prison industrial complex can continue to expand in ways that other industries aren't able to. Largely it's due to the way that prisons are kind of an ever-expanding sort of thing. You know, if you build more prisons, there's more jobs created, there's more industries that are going to then fuel that, and it's kind of almost an endless cycle.
Okay, so that was an interview that I did with an organizer from the Pelican Bay Solidarity Committee in Montreal who didn't want her name used, but for more information on the mission of the organizers, you can visit contrelesprisons.blogspot.com.